Luke chapter 14, verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to examine them. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And then the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Let's pray together. Lord, as we come to consider this parable, we remember that it's your word. We remember that you want to speak and challenge or encourage us. And so, Lord, please help us be ready to listen to you. Help us to not be distracted, and help us, Lord, to obey what you say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this COVID-19 pandemic, it's a global pandemic. It stopped all sorts of activities. Pubs have had to shut. Sport has stopped. For many people, work has stopped. Travel has stopped. Even today, I see that there's another change in the policy about traveling to Spain. And that there'll be people I know that are planning to go to Spain and now will feel very cautious about that because there's a raised level of COVID there and they've been asked to make sure that they stay away from everybody for 14 days after they return home, which I guess will mean that some people won't be able to go. So the pandemic has stopped all sorts of things. And one of the things that I guess many of us will have missed is being able to go out for a meal, perhaps to a cafe or a restaurant, or particularly I'm thinking of going out for a meal with friends, sharing some food together, being with loved ones, sharing a barbecue, perhaps a birthday party where normally the whole family would gather and celebrate and it's been impossible to do. Or perhaps there was a wedding planned that has to be cancelled because the party wasn't possible to have because of the restrictions. And so in this parable, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a great eternal banquet to which we are all invited. But sadly, not everyone will come. Sadly, not everyone will come. Just a brief word on the context. Let's remember, as I introduced the reading, that we're now in a situation. Jesus is a ruler of the Pharisees' house. He's been invited for a meal, and clearly there's others there, I guess. We don't know, but I guess there were lots of other Pharisees and perhaps other religious elite people. I guess it was a bit like being invited to the bishop's house or the archbishop's house and to a party where you would meet lots of other bishops and religious people. And then there's this healing, and then Jesus challenges their pride. And then he summarizes teaching by reminding them that they shouldn't exalt themselves, because one day they will be humbled. Rather, they should humble themselves, that one day God would lift them up. That was his blunt challenge, but he wasn't finished. You remember last week I spoke about how blunt Jesus could be, and he continues to be very challenging. Look at verses 12 to 14. He said also to the man who invited him, "When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbours, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just." So perhaps his attention is turned from the people that were attending this meal and noticing how they wanted to have the best seats and be honoured. And now Jesus' attention goes to the one that's invited him, and he challenges him about who he should invite. That he shouldn't just invite people that are going to pay him back, and people that are rich, and people with prestige and status, but he should be inviting those that perhaps were more outcast in the society, those who were troubled, more deprived, those who were poor, those who were crippled and lame and blind. And remember that this was an environment without the welfare state, so people like this would have been dependent, perhaps begging even, for their life. They would certainly be dependent upon other people. They had no income of their own, perhaps, because of their disability. Very challenging thing to say to this man who had invited him. Have you heard the phrase or the saying, "Birds of a feather flock together"? And Jesus was challenging that. He was saying, look, don't just get around you people like you, but reach out to people who are not like you. Reach out especially to those who cannot repay you. And let's, just before we get into the parable, remember that this is not a parable. This is just Jesus teaching. And it's teaching to us as well as to the parables. He's just speaking plainly to us. And so let's ask the question. How good are we at showing hospitality? Hospitality, not just to our friends and family, but hospitality to those who perhaps can't pay us back. People who are struggling. People who are deprived in one way or another. How good are we at showing generosity to those who are in need, who are unable to return the favour? I was reading a thing during the week that noted a difference between hospitality and entertaining people. You know, in middle class circles, we like to talk about entertaining people, and people would have dinner parties or whatever the local equivalent is here. But, well, we're not talking about entertaining people. We're talking about being hospitable. We're talking about inviting someone round for a baked beans on toast. We're talking about inviting someone round for a cuppa or for a chat. We're not talking about something elaborate where you have to put flash food on for everybody. Jesus is just saying, be hospitable. Reach out to those around you who are in need. I wonder how good we are at that. I guess that people were feeling just a little bit awkward when Jesus started speaking like this. And it seems to me that what happens in verse 15 comes out of that. It's possible that this man, it says, one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, and he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now it's possible that this man was genuinely spiritually minded, and he was making the conversation directed towards spiritual things about the kingdom of God and the joys that there were ahead in this great banquet. I think personally it's much more likely that he was feeling a bit hot under the collar and he tried to change the subject a little bit. I wonder if you've ever done that, when you're feeling a bit got at, when you're feeling a bit convicted. And you start saying things that perhaps later on you think, well, that was a bit of a stupid thing to say. But here, Jesus listens to what he says. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he decides to tell a parable. a parable about the kingdom of God being like a great banquet with a glorious invitation. And this parable throws up a number of questions for us to consider. The first one I want to think about is this. Are you making excuses? Are you making excuses? A man invites lots of people to a banquet, Jesus says. The advance notice goes out. This seems to be how it works in those days, that a notice would go out by word of mouth that a party was planned, a great banquet was planned, and that you were invited. So you'd hear about it in plenty of notice, I don't know, perhaps a few weeks before, that you'd know it was going to happen. And then on the day, when everything was ready, the servant would go out and tell everyone again, come, everything is now ready. And you see that's what happens in the story. I think we can only assume that when the first message had gone out, they'd responded that they would come. But on the day, when the servant went out and said everything is ready, he was just met by a series of excuses. And listen to those excuses. I've just purchased the field and I need to go and check it. Now, I don't know about you, but I guess that the field would be there after the party and he could go and check his field later. I guess a field doesn't change much in the course of a day or two. Similarly, someone had purchased some oxen and he needed to go and examine them. It didn't sound like a very good... It sort of ranks along the dog ate my homework type of excuse. Or someone else who has just got married and for some reason that meant he couldn't go to a party and enjoy it with his wife. I don't understand. But Jesus is getting at a deeper thing, that there's an invitation into his kingdom through trusting him and humbling ourselves before God, admitting our sin and trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. There is an invitation that goes out to all that we're welcome into this banquet, and one after another of us make excuses. I'm a bit too young. I'll think about that when I'm a bit older. I'm a bit too old. I thought about that when I was younger, and now I just need to have a quiet life now. I can't be doing with church and Bibles and things like that. Well, one day I'll think about that. It's on my list of things to do. I'll get round to it one day. All right, I'm just too busy. I can't think about things like that. I've got people to do, things to see, money to earn, family to look after. I can't be thinking about that sort of stuff. Or I'm just so tired. I'm just being so busy and so run around. I just need to relax. Stop bothering me with thoughts about sin and about eternity. Just go away and I'll just need to rest. Perhaps I'll listen later on. Perhaps there's people that feel too sinful. They look at themselves and they know that they're sinners. They know that they've done stuff that's terrible. And they think to themselves when they hear this invitation, well, he wouldn't want me there. Or perhaps feeling too good. But they hear an invitation to come and admit you're a sinner and trust in the Lord Jesus and put your faith in him alone. And they say, no, I'm all right. I'll just keep myself to myself and I'll do my good deeds. I do one every day, you know, and I don't do this and I don't do that and I do try and do this. Basically, they're saying that they're too good to be coming along to this great gospel invitation, this great banquet. You know, some people say, don't they, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. People that were one day going to get around to it. People that were one day going to think about these things. People that said, well, just tomorrow, just next week, or when I get a bit older. Let me urge you today to hear this invitation that is to all. And to come to him. To come into the banquet. We come by admitting our sin. By turning from it. And turning to Christ, trusting in him alone for our salvation. That's what it means to be coming into his kingdom, into his banquet. And yes, there is a fulfillment of a great banquet that's ahead. The great glorious day when Jesus returns, there'll be a great banquet, a wedding feast. But even today, we can come into this kingdom and come and feast. Come and see that Jesus is like bread for us to eat and water for us to be, our thirst to be quenched. So don't keep making excuses. You know, excuses are things that when you're listening to someone else making them, it's a bit cringeable, isn't it? Because you can see what's happening. So just stop and think about what you're saying sometimes, saying to God. Perhaps you're not actually saying it with your mouth, or you're not saying it to somebody else, but in your heart, that's what you're saying to God. I'll think about it later. I'll respond another time. Or I don't quite need you at the moment, but when I do, I'll shout. Well, God is saying today is the day of salvation. Today I want you to come to me. Stop making excuses and enter in. That's the first question. Are you making excuses? Secondly, are you spreading the invitation? Here, when we see the master's response, so when the servants have gone out and all these excuses have been made and the servant comes back a bit distressed and speaks to the master, we find something of God's character. And if you're a Christian, these things should also be your response. The first thing is that God is angry. He's angry that there's people who don't want to come to this wonderful gift that he wants to give them, this great banquet. He's angry about that. It says it in verse 21a, the first part of 21. It says, so the servant came and reported these things to his master, and then the master of the house became angry. He was disturbed. The people would not want to listen and would not want to respond. And I don't know if anger is the right word for us to feel, but it's frustrating. Why wouldn't people want to enjoy this wonderful gift that God's inviting them to a banquet and they don't want to be part of it? But this next thing we definitely should feel and experience. Look at verses 21 to 23 and think of this extravagant grace, this extravagant generosity. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. And the servant said, what you have been commanded has been done and still there's room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedgeways and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. So his generosity reaches to those on the outside of society, to those who are struggling. It wasn't just an invitation to those who looked religious. It wasn't just an invitation to the Pharisees and his mates. This was an invitation from God to everyone. Firstly, it mentions again the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Notice that that's exactly the same list that he tells us directly to invite to and give hospitality to in verse 13. This is God's heart. He's a generous God. And he reaches out to those who are in need. He cares for those who are struggling. He cares for those who are experiencing disabilities and problems. Those that are poor. Those that feel left out. Those that are sort of pushed to the edge of society. God cares about them. And more than this, after they'd gone out and invited those, there was still room. And God's got a heart that says, there's still room. Let's get some more people. I wonder if you've ever had a party like that where not everyone came that was expected and there were a few like empty seats. Well, this is God's attitude to that. He says, well, go and get somebody. Go find anybody and they might as well come and enjoy the party. Come and take one of these seats. And so they go out of the city onto the highways and the hedges, or the highways and the byways, I think the old translation used to say, outside the city, urge them to come in, that the banquet might be filled, the house may be filled, that the church might be filled, that the kingdom of God might be filled. I wonder if we've got that a heart in ourselves, that we long for the churches to be filled. We long for the kingdom of God to be filled. We long that other people would be invited and hear and respond. If there are some that are hard-hearted, and if there are some that are making excuses, let's go somewhere else and find people that will come. And let's not overlook the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, those who are outside the city, those who might not be the first people that you would think of. So let's start at home. Let's go to the country. Let's go to the city. Let's cross the globe. Let's go to the needy. Let's go to the oppressed. Let's go to the prisons. Let's reach out to the prostitutes and the traffic. Let's get the message to all people, wherever they are, that they're invited into this kingdom party. Friends, if you're a believer, and I include myself in this, let's ask God for a passion to do this. Let's ask him for a courage to do it. Perhaps starting where we are, in our own home, in our own street, with our own family, in our high street. Or perhaps God is calling you beyond that. Perhaps he's calling you to a distant land. Perhaps he's calling you to be a missionary. Perhaps he's calling you to serve him somewhere else. Be ready to hear and to follow him, and be ready to reach out to the people that the world jettisons. Reach out to the people that the world says, well, they seem not to be worth very much. Certainly we don't give them much status. The poor, the deprived, the abused, the stressed, the foreigner. All those people that the world sort of puts on one side, God says, no, I care about them. Invite them to the kingdom party. God wants them to hear the invitation. And perhaps it's you that he wants to go and tell them. You remember when Jesus said that the harvest was ripe, but there were so few workers. And he told us to pray. Pray. Pray that he would send more workers into the harvest field. And then Jesus, after he'd said that, sent out his disciples. He said, you're the ones. Go and do the work. And so perhaps he's calling us right now to be people who are more focused about this invitation going out around us. You know, here in Loftus, one of the things, it's a lovely place to live, and I've loved being here. And one of the things that people say that have been here for a long while is that they feel like the town has been a bit left out. They feel like the town has been a bit left behind. There has been prosperous years in the past, but you can see marks of it around the place today. And spiritually even, there's churches that are derelict on the high street. There's shops that are shut up. And perhaps feel a bit like things have passed us by a bit. Well, God cares. You know, you might think, well, who cares? Do Redcar and Cleveland Council care about us? I'm sure they do. Does the nation care about Little Loftus? I don't know. But I know that God does care about Loftus, and he does care about people here, and he does care, and he wants you to hear his message, and he wants you to respond to him. He has great blessings in store for all those who will come to him. So there's the first two. Making excuses. Don't be people. Are you making excuses today about not entering his kingdom? Secondly, if you're in his kingdom, are you spreading the invitation that others might hear this invitation? And lastly, are you going to miss out? Verse 24, it's a bit of a harrowing verse. Jesus closes his parable by saying, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. He's talking about those who were invited first, those who had advance notice, those who were the very ones who should have responded to the invitation first and had their places taken by others that came later. Those that had the original invitation, they will not taste God's banquet. Now, if you go back to verse 15 and remember what the man said that prompted this parable, perhaps it begins to the pieces begin to come together. Because the man who had reclined at the table with him and heard these things said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And you know what? I think that man was thinking, we're all right. We're Pharisees. We're religious people. Won't it be a wonderful thing when we eat bread in the kingdom of God? And I think Jesus' challenge to them is, you had advance notice. You've got the scriptures. You're religious. You know the scriptures. You've seen the prophets. You had advance notice. You knew all that was going to happen. You knew the Messiah was going to come. And now I'm here, you're not even listening to me. You had all those privileges. And actually, you will not taste my banquet. Now these Pharisees, these were like the spiritual version of the SAS. They were seriously religious. And Jesus is saying to them of all people, the religious people, watch out. Otherwise you won't ever be in this kingdom. You won't be part of this banquet. Watch out. You had advance notice. You heard the prophets. You're Jewish. You had all the privileges of being in this blessed people. And you will not take part in this banquet. Friends, you can be as religious as you like. You can follow all of the ceremonies and all of the man-made rules. But if you do not respond from your heart to the invitation of God to enter into his kingdom through his Son, then you will be left outside. And this might be a particular challenge to focus on those of you that are young in a Christian family. Perhaps you've got Christian parents. And you feel very religious because you go to church a lot and you read the Bible a lot and you know the answers to all the questions. But the question is have you responded to him in your heart? Have you been convicted of your sin? Have you repented of your sin? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus and in him alone? Or are you just hoping that because you go to church a lot and because you read the Bible a lot, that God's going to accept you? Well, the words of this parable would say, beware. Beware. Because some of those most privileged are not going to taste of the banquet. Perhaps you're a churchgoer. We've got to be careful that just because we go to church or just because we do religious things or get into religious conversations or spend time with other religious people, that doesn't mean that we are transformed by God. It doesn't mean that we've been born again of his Spirit. That needs to happen to each one of us. We can't inherit it from anyone. It needs to be our own experience. You might say, well, I sing in the choir. You might say, well, I get dressed up every Sunday to go to church. You might say, well, I've done this for years and years and years. I do this and I do that and I do the other. And I've been christened or I've been baptized or I've done both. I've done all these things. But that's not what matters. What matters is today, are you born again of his Son? Are you yielding to the Lord Jesus? Are you trusting in him alone? It's shocking, but it's true. Jesus' ending to this parable is shocking. Many religious people will never enter the kingdom of God. They won't enjoy the great banquet. And friends, if this is us, we can't blame anybody else. The invitation has gone out. We've heard the invitation. And the question is, have we responded to it? Or are we just making excuses? And you know, if you look on the other side of it, many people in the world who the world perhaps continues to look down upon, people who seem far from God and are certainly reviled by the world, are brought into God's kingdom through repentance and faith. So people that you might look around and think, well, they're not worthy of a place in heaven, and they're not worthy of a place in heaven, and goodness me, what's this person doing there? Well, God calls us, wherever we are, to come into his kingdom. And there'll be people who have been far, far from God, but have been brought into his kingdom. And there'll be people that have been around Christian people all their lives, look very religious, but will not be part of his kingdom. It's an encouragement to you if you feel that, you know, earlier on I said one of the reasons why people might make an excuse, they might think, well, they're not good enough. Well, this parable says God goes out and reaches out to everybody. The invitation goes to you, even if you think you're so bad. In fact, the very fact that you think you're too bad for the kingdom is probably a qualification. Because you remember, it's those that are humble, those who humble themselves, that will be exalted. You're ready to hear a gospel of hope if you're in that situation. So please, respond to the invitation yourself. Please invite others into the banquet. And please hear that coming to the kingdom is a radical change that requires new birth. You don't want to be someone that misses out just because you're in religious circles, but you haven't responded to God in your heart. Let's pray together before we sing our final song. Father God, we hear a great challenge in this parable. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your generosity. Thank you, Lord, that you've got this banquet that we can all enjoy, a banquet of eternal love and grace with you, a banquet of a wedding feast with the Lord Jesus, our husband, as it were. You're inviting us to spend eternity with you and to be like your children, to be inheritors of this kingdom. And we're sorry if we have been people who have made excuses. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us today to respond in faith and love and grace. Please help us, we pray, to put our trust entirely upon the Lord Jesus. I pray for any that are listening who are just relying upon being religious, that they will see that just external works will never save them, but they need to be reborn from the inside. Please do a work of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.